Well, good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome you on behalf of the First Baptist Church of Port Crane. This is a continuation of a special weekend when we honor our pastor and his dear wife, Pastor Dan and Nancy, for 25 years here at First Baptist Church of Port Crane. It is going to be a very special service. We have a lot of special things going on. I've been told, first of all, they need to put on these posies. So, we have some corsages for them. And while they are attaching themselves, there was a pastor who wanted to be here last night and could not be here, but has sent a message of greeting. And so we are going to, as soon as they get things ready here, we are going to turn things over to that pastor. Then we'll have, you'll notice in the bulletin it's blank. That was so the pastor didn't know what was going on, but it also means that we generally don't know what's going on until it happens. So just, we'll play it by ear. We want it to honor the Lord and honor these dear people. Okay, it looks like they are fixed. Let's have our guest pastor.
Good morning, friends at First Baptist Port Crane. I just want to read to you a little scripture this morning. I think this is a passage that my mom enjoys, and it's Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Happy 25th anniversary, Mom and Dad. Wish we could be down there with you. We love you very, very much. God bless.
All right. That's their baby, Pastor Derek Baker, who ministers in Teslin in the Yukon Territory of Northern Canada, and my son-in-law. And so we're glad that they could do that. Now, part of that passage is also a little chorus. And so we've got it up here. The law of the Lord is perfect. Most of you know that. If you don't just sing along, I know we'll get the rhythm wrong because everybody sings it different. But let's stand and sing "The Law of the Lord is Perfect" from Psalm 19.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we commit this service to you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for the blessing of our pastor and his wife. We thank you for the blessing of your word. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends. Lord, we just lift up the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask that you will take this service, and may it accomplish great things for you, and may it bless the hearts of these folks that we love. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a couple moments now and greet one another. Make sure you greet Pastor and Nancy and their guests. Take a moment, shake a few hands. Thank you. We now have some special music. It says pastor's daughters, granddaughters, looks like his sister's up here. We got a whole clan ready to honor these folks with a special number. So we'll turn it over to them. Thank you.
Normally, about this time, we have our scripture of the month, and it's not in the bulletin, but if you have your Bible, let's turn to Isaiah 59:19. There are some habits we don't want to get out of, and sharing scripture is certainly one of them. So Isaiah 59:19. We'll say the reference, then the verse, and the reference, and if you're version is a little different from what I have in front of me, that's okay. Let it speak to you. Together, Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Isaiah 59:19. May the Lord bless those words, and may his name be glorified. We have a special presentation at this point, and so we need to have Pastor and Nancy come up here on the platform. We will also ask the chairman of the board, Mr. Tom Fletcher, to come up. So come on up, folks.
Well, it was 25 years ago that the members of this church sent two men down to Holmesdale, Pennsylvania. Okay, they were Little David and Big David, meaning Little David Wilson and Big David Sampson. Okay, he was quite tall then. We sent them down there for a reason. Okay, and when they come back home that Sunday night, they told us they found their man. Okay. Last night, Pastor Dan sat here and he says, I fought. He said, I kicked. And I wasn't going to come. Yeah, he wasn't ready. But do you remember my testimony at Path of Life Camp? I said, there are two things to prepare for when you're not where the Lord wants you. Do you remember that?
No, but
That's okay, because I don't remember half your sermons either. So, don't worry about it. No, not really. I do. So, I said two things. If you're
Tom's truthful. That's right.
So, I said, if you're not where the Lord wants you, prepare for a battle and prepare to lose. And you know what? You fought and you didn't want to come, but the Lord won. All right? Amen. And you're here and we Amen. Gained. Okay? Not only have you been a shepherd to us, a leader, but you've been a family that we've all grown to love. Okay, and because of that, we'd like to present you with this gift, okay, in honor from the whole church.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Would you believe the first Sunday I preached here, Tom was on vacation. He wasn't here. They kept telling me about this Tom Fletcher guy and what a great, wonderful fellow he was. And it was a couple of weeks before you finally arrived in church and we got to meet you.
Could be. I came back from vacation now just to do this. Okay, we've been at camp all week.
Thank you very much.
not really. I've been here.
Pastor Nancy, before you go, yep. We want you to open the card and read it here, because there's some of these folks that don't know what's in it.
Just like me.
Exactly.
I recognize the picture of the potter. And in high school, I got to do what that picture is saying there, to spin clay on the wheel and to work it. And it says, just think, you're here not by chance, but by God's choosing. His hand formed you and made you the person you are. He compares you to no one else. You are one of a kind. You lack nothing that His grace cannot give you. He has allowed you to be here at this time of history to fulfill His special purpose for this generation. And those are the words of a great writer by the name of Roy Lesson. Inside it says, you are God's servant in God's place, your loving flock at Port Crane Baptist. And inside is a check. I have no idea what amount, and I can't believe that. Oh, my word. It says you gave me $5,000. Oh, wow. Thank you all so much. I cannot believe that. Thank you.
A vacation.
Thank you very much. We'll work on this. We'll find out what Leon's got in mind for a real vacation.
All right. Let's take a few moments, share some announcements. If the gentleman will get ready for the offering. In your bulletin, we do have some announcements, some things coming up. Services this week, Bible study, prayer meeting on Wednesday, Seasoned Saints on Thursday. And then coming up, let's not forget this afternoon, right after this service, we're having lunch. And all of you are invited. It says dinner on the ground, but I think they put up some tables and chairs. So we'll be okay. But then a service that follows, and that's where a lot of you folks from the church, you haven't had a lot of opportunity for you to have your say. And so in that afternoon service, we will let you give your testimonies of appreciation. And so you don't want to miss that. Then coming up later on, next Saturday, New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms is having a barbecue chicken dinner at Path of Life. Scott, where are you? Okay. Can you give us some details there?
The chicken barbecue starts at noon, and it's a free will offering for New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. So just come and enjoy. Weather permitting, we'll have activities for you to do, hay rides and trail rides and stuff like that.
Okay. I encourage you to participate. This is a group that really fights for our rights as Christians and as decent people in New York State. So come out for that. Then we have, let's see, this is the 17th. So 2 weeks from today, Jason Nightingale will be here with a presentation. He is a memory expert. He'll be here in the evening service. Is that next week? Wow, it is next Sunday night. Thank you. See, I can't count. I see 17 and it doesn't work. And then the following week, Steve Pelton in the morning and a picnic up at Perry's Pond in the evening to celebrate the end of summer. We won't talk about that today. And you see other things coming up in about 3 weeks. We have two concerts for the Triumphant Quartet. If you like Southern Gospel music, this is a premier group. Talk to David. I understand there's still a good number of seats for Thursday available, not so many for Friday. And you can see the rest of the announcements coming up here. Gentlemen, would you please come forward and we'll take up the offering. Roger, would you please ask the Lord to bless the offering?
Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for all that you give to us. We thank you for the pastors. He's been here and had a ministry. 8 years. We just thank you for that. May it continue in this church and continue to go forth. Be now with this offering as we give back a small portion of all that you have given to us. We give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Have the ensemble start to make their way up front now. I do have one more announcement. Bayuca needs help with a roofing project.
That's August 21st to the 23rd, weather permitting. So if you can help out with that, that's good. We have the ensemble coming, doing a special song. After that, we'll have Pastor Dan and Nancy come back up, and the junior church will have a special presentation for them. But the song that we have now, it's printed. It's out there someplace. It's called It's Grace, written by Pastor Daniel C. Baker and arranged by Rebecca L. Rowe, who is on the keyboard. So let's see what we can do with this. It's Grace.
It's grace, what a wonderful sound. It's grace, spread it all around. It's grace, oh the joy that I found. It's grace, it's grace, it's grace. It's grace, the gift of God's love. It's grace, comes from heaven above. It's grace, that I need of. It's grace, it's grace, it's grace. It's grace that will carry me through. It's grace, and it's not even new. It's grace, and it's every tune. It's grace, it's grace, it's grace. It's grace, God gives it for free. It's grace, it's for you and me. It's grace, and it sets them free. It's grace, it's grace, it's grace.
Didn't know he was a songwriter, did you? Well, let's have Pastor Nancy come back up so that our junior church folks can honor you. So, junior church folks, you come right up here too.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
You may not see it from back there, but each one of these hands that's stuck in has somebody's name on it. Joe, Izzy,
Keegan, Monica, Dustin, Silas, Jesse, Liberty, Harry, Julie, exactly.
And if you turn it around, they can see the sign that says, thank you for helping our kids grow in God's Word. Thank you very much. Thank you all.
Shake his hand.
Thank you. Oh, we're going to shake hands. All right.
Do I get a hug?
They don't want to shake hands, they want hugs.
Thank you.
You don't care.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, every one of you.
We know as adults, we learn to love our pastor and his family, but that starts as kids.
Amen.
All right, let's take our hymnal, and we'll sing number 562. 562, Be Thou My Vision. After we sing the second verse, then the junior church will be dismissed to go downstairs. 562, let's stand as we sing the four verses.
Mm-hmm.
be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Nought be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Walking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Riches I need not, seated. Let's take our bulletins and look at the back. We do have a number of prayer requests and a couple of additions. I encourage you to look through the list from time to time. If there's people that you don't know, they may be the ones that need prayer the most. So at least pray. The Lord knows them. You can pray for them by name. We have seen the Lord answer many prayers in recent days. That's by His grace, but He tells us to pray. So let's be faithful in that. A couple of things here. First column, almost to the bottom, Joe Langton. Gallbladder surgery is not the 20th, but the 22nd. So please make that change. We have a couple of additions. Kevin Langston, if you'd like to add his name.
Langton.
He's a young man, 41, discovered he has brain and bone cancer. My understanding is he designs and produces medical equipment. He was demonstrating a piece on himself and discovered he had cancer. But we need to pray for Kevin Langton. Also, a young man, Ryan Warner, if you'll add his name. Apparently last night there was an accident at a bonfire. Something exploded and he has been burned. And so we need to pray for Ryan Warner. All right, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this point in the service where we begin to focus more and more on the needs of others, I pray that you will give us hearts of compassion to pray for those in need, to pray for those that we know and care about, and to pray for those that we don't know but still care about. Father, there are many, many here on this list who have physical needs. We think of this young man with the burns and the cancer, gallbladder surgery. We see on the list so many other cancers and problems and things that you allow in these bodies as they wear down, the result of sin in the world. But Father, you have given hope. You've given hope of recovery. You've given hope of healing here, if that's your will. You've given hope of eternal life and a glorified body that will never break down if only we will come to know you.
So, Father, we present these physical needs to you. We ask that you will help the people who are suffering to overcome and work through that suffering, to know your grace, that they may do what you've called them to do and be who you've called them to be. We pray for those that are traveling and ask that you'll give them safety. We think of the graduation up at Word of Life this morning and the blessing that that will be, but a lot of travel for a lot of people. We ask for safety. We ask, Father, for those who have other needs. There are physical needs. There are financial needs. Certainly there are emotional needs. And the greatest of all are the spiritual needs. And there are some on this list who do not know you as Savior yet. I pray that today might be the day. If there's someone here in the service that doesn't know you as Savior yet, they don't realize that they're a sinner and they're on their way in the wrong direction, but you have made provision through Jesus Christ to change them, make them a new creature. I pray, Father, that today will be the day. I ask that you will bless our pastor and his wife, bless our speaker. I pray, Father, that the rest of this service will certainly glorify you and lift up the name of our Savior, for we ask it in his name. Amen. All right. Our special guest speaker today is Dr. Dino Padrone. I first became aware of Dr. Padrone through the Sword of the Lord newspaper. After he graduated from practical and then apparently a degree from Evangelical Bible College, if I've read your biography right, and if they've written it right, never trust Wikipedia, but if I've read it right, he went to Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. And when I encountered him, there was an ad in there, said he had the largest Sunday school east of the Mississippi, if I remember right. Is that true? After many years ministering there at the Open Door Church, the Lord called him to South Florida, the New Testament Baptist Church, two campuses, two schools, active with the Florida Association of Christian Schools and radio ministries. In fact, it said that with one of his ministries, fully one half I have written here, of the English-speaking world could hear his ministry over the radio. He has written at least 20 books and booklets. He's had television ministries. He has had numerous awards, including the Notable Americans Award and the Israel Film Festival Humanitarian Award. And I know one of the things he's most proud of is his wife, Bobby. They have 4 grown children, 2 grandchildren. And it is our honor to have Dr. Dino Padrone here as our speaker today. Dr. Padrone.
Well, it's my privilege to be here with my dear friends, Dan and Pastor Dan and Nancy. I was thinking this morning as I was coming over here, this is unbelievable. We met 50 years ago, and you and I are just 55 years old, so it was a long time ago that we met. We were students at a practical Bible training school, and they lived up in King Hall, remember that? And had an apartment up there. They were married. Were you married when you came to the college? You weren't. You married between junior. I think it's all we could do back in those days, right? Between the junior and senior year. But Dan and Nancy really spiritually were a lot ahead of the rest of us. They really were. They had kind of direction in life. And he and I at one time, can you believe us? We formed an evangelistic team. Do you remember that? We were not good. I just want you to tell you that we were not good at all. He led the music. He did all the singing, most of the preaching. I'm not sure what I did when we traveled, but we lasted for about 3 or 4 months, and we went out to reach the world and came back just trying to learn what we were supposed to be doing. But it's just a joy, and I want to congratulate you as a church, too, for the honoring you've given to your pastor and his wife. The pastor is a gift to the church, isn't he? God gives you a gift, and here's your gift. You've had it for 25 years with the Bakers, and we are so thrilled that you're doing that. And I'm so glad for the $5,000 that you gave him. We have a check for $100 for you, too, at the college. I forgot to bring it. I told my wife to bring it. No, I forgot it. She didn't forget it. But it's for the cafe, okay? So you come by my office. I've got that for you to come by the cafe. But congratulations. How many of you know how they met? Anybody know how they met? Anybody? I have the story. I wanted to give it to you today, all right? But I understand that when Dan, I'm going to call him Dan just for the moment, all right? Saw Nancy, he thought, boy, that's the one for me right there. So he invited her over to the house. They didn't really know what to do with her, and so he said, let's play hide and seek. So they set out to play hide and seek. And so she went out to hide, and he was counting. And finally he said, I'm going to find you. And he could not hear anything. So he said again, I'm going to find you. And he heard way in the distance, I'm hiding. And so again, I'm going to find you. And again, she said, I'm hiding. And he couldn't find her. So now he was getting frustrated. So he said, I'm going to find you. And when I do, I'm going to kiss you. And all of a sudden he heard, I'm hiding in the closet. I don't think that's true, but I thought it was a good story to tell you today, all right? It was Francis Schaeffer, the late Francis Schaeffer, that once wrote these words many years ago. He said, the meaning of the word Christian has been reduced to practically nothing because the word Christian as a symbol has come to mean so little, yet it means everything, and yet it means nothing. I would say to you today that your pastor has been a great example, as has his wife, of what a Christian really is. And thank God you've had those kind of people in your midst. Aren't you glad about that today? They've been here, in this community. I think back on 25 years, that's a long time. That's a quarter of a century. That's long for a marriage. That's long for a job. And it's almost unheard of nowadays for a pastor in the church. I had the privilege of being a pastor for 25 years, and it was a joy. In fact, the most difficult thing I ever had to do was to leave a church of 25 years. I knew God was leading us on, but what a blessing to have him as your pastor and a great example into this community. And years down the road, there'll be still stories told about the pastor and his wife because of what God has done for them. And with that in mind, I want you to open your Bible to a very familiar passage today in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And I want to bring a message today that really has nothing to do with the idea that in any way you're coming to the end, but rather to a beginning. But when we had commencement this year at Davis College, we had a guest come in named Bill Welty from Keswick in Whiting, New Jersey, and he said, I'm speaking to the students, the graduates of this college on the subject of finishing well. Now, they're just young people, most of them. I thought about that. I spoke at a couple of commencements this spring, and also I said, I want to speak to you on the subject of finishing well. So when I speak to you today about finishing well, I don't mean in any way to give the impression that this is coming to the end of anything, but rather that's what our minds need to be on all the time, this idea of finishing well. And that the three familiar verses I read to you today are very familiar. I'm sure your pastor has many times preached on these verses, verses 6, 7, and 8. These are the last writings of the Apostle Paul under divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in verses 6 through 8, he said these words. He knew what was happening. He said, I am ready. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those also who have loved his appearing. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for 25 years of ministry. What an example to this church, to this community, to this county, to people everywhere. Many have been influenced. Many have been influenced that we know nothing about, but they've been influenced. So thank you, Lord, for the ministry of Pastor Dan and Nancy Baker and all that you've called them to do through this church. And God, I pray today that you'll touch our hearts with thanksgiving to you for them, but ultimately that this is what is bringing great glory to our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, as we look for a few moments on the subject of finishing well, help all of us to stop and to think today where we're on in the journey, Lord, some have done well, some have failed. But may we pick up today as we heard that beautiful song that Pastor wrote about grace and recognize that grace is available for all of us to continue on. And so, Lord, thank you for that and thank you for what you've given to us in grace. And may we continue with the grace of God in our hearts and lives as we set out to truly finish well. In Jesus' name, amen. The Christian life is a race, but it's not a sprint. The Christian life is really a marathon. And when you get on it and you start going on it, you realize it is a marathon. I have one son. I have three sons. But I have one son who a few years ago took up running. He's a marathon runner now. And he was doing a marathon. He asked me if I would go and watch the marathon. I told him I would be delighted to. I'd never been to a marathon before. I had no idea what I was getting into. I thought we'd see people run down the street a little while, they'd be coming back. But that's not what it was at all. There were over 30,000 runners. I couldn't believe it. Hundreds of thousands of people were there. I dropped my son off, parked the car. He said, 30,000 runners were lining up. He said, Dad, do you see me? I said, I have no idea where you're at. He texted to me. But they put one of these things on his shoe where I could find out where he was at. So the people went off running. I went out and I had coffee. I had a donut. And then I had a sweet roll. I had some breakfast. I read a book, read my Bible, prayed, did a few other things, made some phone calls, and they were about halfway done. I mean, this thing goes a long time. But then I saw that my son was coming back to the finish line. I remember going to the finish line, and all of a sudden, there he came. He wasn't the winner. He wasn't even halfway through what most of them came to, but he got through. I was so proud of him. And I asked him how he felt. He said, I feel exhausted, but I'm so glad I made it to the end. Marathon. That's what the Christian life is. The word marathon, by the way, is an interesting word. It comes from a geographic place of the battle between Greece and Persia. We are told back in 400 B.C., and the legend has it, there was a runner, a Greek runner, who ran from Marathon to Athens, a distance about 21 to 25 miles, and the legend says he just dropped over and fell dead. In the Olympics, in 1896, we began, and it's a 26.2-mile run, and thousands will start, and not everyone can finish. Now, these words in 2 Timothy are interesting because Paul is writing these words from the Mamertine prison. These are his final writings. He's not on a book tour. He's not on television. He's not on radio. He's not well known to a lot of people at this time. He's in a deep, dark dungeon called the Mamertine prison where a rope and ladder will take you down to it. There's very little that he says here about himself, but as he writes this, he is talking about this idea that there is going to be a finish line. He says, I feel like I'm coming to the finish line because he's about to lose his life. Remember, all of the apostles gave their life and death except for the apostle John in martyrdom. So look at the passage, if you would, with me today. There are three tenses that he gives in this passage. In verse 6, he talks about the present tense. He says, I am already. In verse number 7, he talks about the past tense, he says, I have fought the good fight. And in verse number 8, he talks about the future tense. He says, there is laid up for me. So in verse 6, he talks about the present. In verse 7, he talks about the past. And in verse 8, he begins to talk about the future. Now, if you look back at verse number 6, he says, for I am already being poured out. And if you go back to verse 5, we find a connection there. For in verse number 5, it says, but you be watchful in all things. Now, remember, when he was writing these words, he was writing them to a young man named Timothy. And he said, now, I want you, Timothy, to be watchful in all things. I want you to watch out for what you should be doing. He says, I want you to endure afflictions. I want you to do the work of an evangelist. And he said, I want you to fulfill your ministry. What you've started, I want you to fulfill. He says, I believe I'm fulfilling it because I'm about to lose my life. So he says in verse number 6, then, I am already being poured out. And the word poured out there is really taken from the Old Testament idea of being poured out like the drink offering on the altar. And he says, and the time of my departure is at hand. Now we don't really know when our time of departure is necessarily at hand. I had a dear, dear friend of mine who was an evangelist who was dying of cancer, serious cancer. And somebody said to him one day, are you afraid to die? And he said wisely, he said, I don't know. I've never done this before. We don't know when our departure is.
Paul knew it probably happening because of the martyrdom he was about to face, but he says, the time of my departure is at hand. And the word departure there has the idea of hoisting up the anchor. He's been out there, now he's hoisting up the anchor, and he's ready to set sail. It's also the background word that is used to take down a tent. The tent's been settled, now we're taking down the tent. It's the idea of the oxen out there working, and now we are unyoking the oxen. Go back in your Bibles for a moment to Philippians chapter 1, if you would. Go back to Philippians chapter number 1. And look with me at verses 21 through 23. The Apostle Paul, in this great writing in to the people of Philippi, talks something about where his mind was at when it came to this matter of going on from this world. In Philippians 1, verse 21, he writes these familiar words, "From to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But then he said, "But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall choose," he says, "I cannot tell." He says, "I'm enjoying being here, but I really do want to be over there." Aren't you glad there is a heaven? A lot of people today say there may not really be a heaven. No, you're going to be with Jesus, but there may not be a heaven. I think they ought to take that information up with Jesus himself. There is a heaven. In verse 23, the apostle then writes, "For I am hard pressed between the two." He says, "I have a desire to depart and be with Christ." He says, "That is going to be far better." So he's talking here about his present situation. He says, "I've always wanted to go and be with Christ." He says, "You know what? Now that time has come." So go back to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Notice the second tense he gives here. There is present tense, but now he talks about what may be called past tense. He says, "This is what I have done." He says, "I have fought the good fight." Pastor and Mrs. Baker, thank you for being the example to us of fighting the good fight. Thank you for, when you're 25 years anywhere doing anything, believe me, there's a lot of fights. Spiritual warfare fights. You see, the devil doesn't like your church, says the devil doesn't like him. Devil doesn't like you honoring him today. But we ought to tell the devil every once in a while to go back where he belongs, right? The fact is, this is what God has placed here, this couple. And would you agree with me today, they have fought the good fight. Amen. And they've been an example to all of us of fighting the good fight. I've known Dan for years. There was one thing I know about Dan. You know where he stands. I love that about him. You know where he stands. He does it graciously, but he does it. He says, "I have finished the race." Now, Pastor, you've not finished the race as far as we know yet, all right? So keep on rolling on. All God's people said. And he says, "I have kept the faith." Now, that word "kept" is a very interesting word. The word, he says, "I have fought the good fight," that term comes from a wrestling match. Two wrestlers are grappling away, and who's going to be the victor? Well, we know we've won the victory because of the cross. The victory is ours. He says, "I have finished the race." The term "finished" there means to yield or produce what needs to be produced. But then he says, I have kept the faith." And that word "kept" is an interesting word. It means to guard the faith. It's used several times in Paul's writing to Timothy. For example, if you go back into chapter number 6 of 1 Timothy, go back to chapter number 6, and verse number 20 of 1 Timothy, he uses the word there, but he calls it "guard." It's the same word that means to guard the faith. So he says in verse 20, "O Timothy, guard which was committed to your trust." Guard it. Guard it carefully. What the truth is, guard it carefully. It's interesting to hear people talk about religion in the Bible nowadays who don't know anything about God at all. And yet they want to give their great opinions about it. When you study God's Word, and you get to know God's Word as your pastor has, there's a guarding of the faith. He has protected his flock here with that truth. So he says, guard the faith. Notice, if you went down into 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, it's the same word that's used as "keep." In chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep." And the word there is the same word "guard," which means what I have committed to him until that day. He says, I want you to guard that. Then if you look at chapter 1 and look at verse number 14 as well, he says the same idea. He says, "That good thing which was committed to you, keep or guard by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you." So Paul says, my past is I have fought the good fight, I've done the job, I've kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. a couple years ago, we gave an honorary doctorate degree at Davis College to Bill Broughton. Bill Broughton was a pastor and a graduate of our college, I think, in 1951 or 53, back in those years. He pastored very faithfully for many, many years. God greatly used his life. When he left pastoring, he decided to become a missionary, and in his late 60s, he went to the Philippine Islands to become a missionary for the cause of Christ. You see, sometimes God changes or redirects us sometimes, but the idea of faithful service just keeps on going all the time. When I left what was then Practical Bible Training School, I went on to university, and I worked for a while as an orderly in a nursing home. And there was a veteran, older pastor that was in that nursing home, and he lay flat on his back all the time. He could hardly communicate. He had a stroke. But the people that worked there said, go in and talk to him. And so I did. And when I would go by and bring whatever I was bringing by to him, water, I'd stop and just talk to him. And I would tell him about, I was a young guy studying for the ministry. And they said, he wouldn't talk to hardly anybody, but he said to me every once in a while, God bless you, son. God bless you, son. And boy, that did me great encouragement. But you know what also? I think if he understood that, it gave him great blessing as well. Just keep on going on. Keep on serving. Now, the future tense is found in verse number 8. This is what is yet to come. He says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. One day, there are crowns that we will be given. By the way, this is a crown everybody can get. If you want to get it, it's there for you. All you have to do is be faithful in looking for the coming of Christ. That crown will be given to you. So he says in verse number 8, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, now watch what he says here, the righteous judge, notice the capital letter L, I'm Lord, the righteous judge, capital letter, but also it says, will give me on that day. And in my Bible, it has the D as capitalized. In other words, there is a certain day that God is speaking about. This, again, is found many times throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul. It's found in 1 and 2 Timothy. Go back to chapter 1, if you will, and look at verse number 18. Chapter 1, look at verse number 18. He says, the Lord grant me that he may find mercy from the Lord. Grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. Notice he says, in that day. If you go back into verse number 12 of the chapter, it says this. The last part says, I have committed to him until that day. Now, what is he talking about? Well, contextually, he's talking there about this idea that one day we are going to stand before the Lord. Now, if you're a child of God, as the pastor's song said today, you're there by the grace of God, aren't you? Nobody can work their way into heaven. Nobody can do anything to get to heaven. When I pastored in Florida, I had a couple of men in my church who used to play for the Miami Dolphins. And every once in a while, they had what they called the alumni box at the stadium. Every once in a while, they would say, maybe once a year, we're going to take you to the alumni box, and you can go in and you can sit there with the players and watch the football game. It was a great honor. But the only way I got in there is if I could go in there with their name and them beside me. If I started walking in and said, I'm Dino Padron, they'd say, well, we don't know Dino Padron, get out of here. But I went in their name. We come into the family of God because of the grace of God, because of Jesus and Jesus alone. But that day is not just speaking about the returning of the Lord. He's speaking here about a day of accounting when we will stand before the Lord and give an account, not of our salvation, but rather of our service to Christ. And I believe, Pastor, one of the great rewards for pastors and wives is that shepherd's crown. That God says, thank you for your faithfulness and what you have done. So we have past and present and future. Now I want to give you five observations that Paul makes. Number one, observation number one, as we honor our pastor today, I want to say to all of you, stay busy till Jesus comes. Now, here's something fascinating about what Paul does here. Remember, he knows that he's about to die. Martyrdom is around the corner. He writes about that. History tells us he was martyred. So what is he going to do? What will he be doing while he is going to prepare for this? Well, if you look down at verse number 13, he gives this word out. He says, bring the cloak. Evidently, it was cold there in that prison. That I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. Did you ever forget something and leave it behind? Maybe that's what happened to Paul. I was speaking last week in a church. I left my jacket behind. I called up and said, would you bring it someday? The guy said, I'll be there in 6 months. So in 6 months, I'll see my jacket again, I guess. But he says, bring the coat. But he says, also, bring the books. And he says, bring the parchment. I think what he was going to do was this. He was going to say, you know what, if they don't kill me tomorrow, I'm going to study. If they don't kill me in 2 days, I'm going to keep on preparing. Maybe I'll have a chance to preach to somebody else. He said, I'm going to stay busy. Someone asked the great evangelist John Wesley one time, if you were to die today, how would you change what you're doing today? And Wesley said, I wouldn't change anything. He said, I've got a plan today. I have a schedule today. He said, I do my schedule. I close my eyes tonight, and I wake up in the presence of the Lord. So stay busy. Secondly, he says this, reproduce yourself in willing followers. Now go back to 1 Timothy for a moment and look at chapter 1 in 1 Timothy. And notice Paul is writing specifically to Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope, to Timothy, he says, a true son in the faith. He says, I'm writing to this one who is my son of the faith. And Pastor, there's people that you probably have influenced. You have no idea you've influenced. And you too, Nancy, that you have no idea you've influenced. But Paul knew of this when he said, he's my son in the faith. Turn over to 2 Timothy, if you would, chapter 1. Notice he writes, he says, he's my faithful son. But in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, he calls him something else. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Wasn't it a blessing to see the film today of son many miles away greeting parents? A beloved son. Well, Timothy was not Paul's real son in the flesh, but truly a real son in the faith. And I would challenge all of us today, reproduce yourself in willing followers. Here's the third observation I would give you from this passage, which is this. Guard well what you've been given. If God's given you something, guard it well. Paul said, I am guarding the faith. I'm keeping faithful to the faith. One of the graduates of our college is a woman named Grace Fabian. She's a graduate of 1959. Grace Fabian went to Papua New Guinea to translate the scriptures with her husband. When he was translating 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter of the Bible, he was martyred for the cause of Christ. Think of that. Translating 1 Corinthians 13. Everything was in a hubbub, obviously, so they came back to the States. The question now, what would be the future of Grace Fabian? At that funeral service, the pastor put on the platform the shoes of Mr. Fabian. And the question was asked, who will come up and fill these shoes? And that day, Grace Fabian's son came up and filled those shoes. And Grace and her son went back to Papua New Guinea and finished the translation. Now, when I hear that story and I think of that, I ask myself, would I do that? Could I do something like that? I mean, when you go through something like that, that seemingly tragedy, now the Scriptures is given in abundance in that area. You see, when God gives us something, just keep on serving Him. Here's the fourth thing. Always live thinking about standing before God. Always live thinking that one day you will stand before God. I have some grandchildren. They were at the house last night. They always mess the house up. And so when they were done, I said, let's clean up the house. Nobody's cleaned the house much. I said, well, Dad and Mom are coming. Let's clean the house. Boy, we cleaned it up pretty quick then. Because they knew they had to stand before Dad and Mom pretty soon. Well, one day we're going to stand before God. And Paul said, that's very important to me. And the fifth observation I give you here is that Paul is simply saying, whatever you do, finish life well. Finish life well. A number of years ago, I was up in above Albany speaking in a Bible conference. I'd have met a man. I wish I had gotten his name. What a man this man was. He was an elderly man, I'm going to guess close to 85, maybe 90. I was there for a Sunday through a Wednesday night, and we were going up the stairwell on Tuesday because the church had a supper that night, and this man was trying to walk up the steps. He was having a hard time, so I was helping him along. So I thought, let's have a conversation. So I started chatting with him, And I said to him, I said, is your wife here tonight? She said, no, she's in heaven. I said, I'm sorry. And he stopped and looked at me and said, what are you sorry about? She's in heaven. I never had anybody tell me that before. We got about halfway up the steps and I said, well, are your children here? Do you have any children here? He said, I have children, but all my children are in heaven. And again, I guess it's natural. I said, well, I'm sorry. And he stopped. He looked at me. He put his finger in my face. He said, what are you sorry about? They're in heaven. Did you ever have a conversation going nowhere? This was one of them. So I got to the top of the stairs, and the conversation had kind of really gone downhill. So I said, well, do you have any relatives anywhere? And I couldn't believe it. This is what he said. He said, all my relatives that I know of are in heaven. And I did not say I'm sorry. But then he said this to me. He said, you know what? He said, this church is my family. He said, I love this church. He said, I come here for everything. He said, when the young people have stuff, I show up too. He said, I just show up. I ask Pastor, what do you want me to do? And he said, you know what I do? I said, what do you do? He said, on Sunday mornings, I pass out the bulletins. And he said, I go to the front door, and I'm the guy that passes out the bulletins. So everybody comes in. I give them a big smile. And he said, I shake hands with all the men. And then he said, I kiss all the women. And he saw me kind of go, kiss all the women? He said, yeah, nobody cares. He says, I'm sold. They don't care what I do around here. I asked the pastor about him. He said, you know, he said, he is a marvelous, marvelous man of God. I'm assuming he's probably in heaven today because that happened quite a few years ago. But I've often thought, what a way to finish well. Pastor and Mrs. Baker, I and this congregation thank you for your example. And you have taught us much. I believe what we've talked about in Timothy here, Paul's letter to Timothy, you've taught this church. You've taught this community. We thank you for all that you've done. And the words that I have said here probably would be better said from you because you have been the example to that. We thank you, we love you, and congregation, you have a wonderful man of God whom I will believe is going to teach you and show you what it means to finish well. I want you to stand right now and give your pastor a great life, a great round of applause.
While you're standing, let's take our hymnal. We'll sing one verse, Day by Day. Day by Day, number 718. Thank you, Dr. Padrone. I am running out of words for this very special occasion, these very special people. Let's sing the first verse of Day by Day, number 718. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Amen. Now, we're going to give you just a few instructions. We've got a dinner that follows, and you are all invited, and I hope you'll all stay. But my guess is there are some of you that need to leave, but you want to give your best wishes to Pastor and Nancy. And so we'll ask that you know, they'll be right here. You come and you give them their greeting. The rest of us will wait because they and their family and our special guests ought to be first through the line out there. And so the rest of us will be patient. You can mingle around, get yourself some coffee or whatever. But that way folks can say their kind words to our dear pastor. And then once they come out and go through, we'll all eat. After the dinner, we'll come back here and we'll have a special service with testimonies. And Dr. Padrone will bless us once again. Let's pray for the food. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity now to share in fellowship around the table. A table of blessing where you meet our physical needs, but you meet our needs for fellowship. We rejoice in you. We celebrate you for providing for us. This food that we get is just a reminder of your daily provision,
It's a reminder of the provision that you give us as sheep, that you've sent us this under-shepherd to lead us into that pasture. Father, we thank you for it. We ask your blessing upon it. Dismiss us from this meeting, I pray now, with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.